We are joined again this Thursday evening on bloggingtheboys.com by Casey Joyner, the football scientist of ESPN.com and the New York Times. Welcome back again, Casey.
Good to be here.
All right, let's talk this week about strength of schedule. We're at that point in the season where people are scoreboard watching, people are working through all the tiebreakers. You know, Dallas is in the middle of a really thick pack of playoff contenders in the NFC, although it looks like in the NFC East, the Giants are running away with the East at this moment. I want to direct you to a chapter in your new book, Blindsided, where you talk about strength of schedule and how that affects a team's chances once they get into the playoffs. And you and I have discussed this, and it seems that your thinking is if a team can survive, if a team's played a tough schedule and it can just get to the playoffs, that strength of schedule will help it in the postseason. Can you give the fans a rundown of what you found for their book?
Yeah, I won't get really numbers heavy here because it's hard to transfer that over the local airwaves. But the gist of the chapter is that when you look at the history of the NFL, if you take if you rank the divisions by win percentage, just add up all the teams' win percentages. Okay, who has the best win percentage, second, third, fourth? You find that there were six divisions from 1970 through 2001, and there's been eight since then. You find that over the course of time, that if you come from one of the top one, two, or three divisions, especially in the top one and two, but usually one, two, and three divisions, about 70% of the Super Bowls are won by those three by those top three divisions. And then there's a further division, further distribution there, fourth and fifth and sixth. Usually, if you're finishing last, if you're one of the, if you're the fifth or sixth, especially if you're sixth, you're going to win nothing. Now, what that means for the NFL this year would be that if you're going to come from the NFC North, I mean, assuming that the records as they are right now would transpose over to the end of the season, would translate to an end of season win rankings. It would look like a team from the NFC North isn't going to win the Super Bowl. Obviously that seems pretty obvious, but it also is that if you're number seven or number six or number five, you're probably not going to go either. And it also correlates to the Cowboys playing in maybe the toughest division in the league. Would, if they were able to make the playoffs, have a good shot at doing something in there. Now, still ways to go, and some teams going to have to play each other and such, but Cowboys would look like if they could get in the playoffs as one of the top three divisions, their chances, historically speaking, would seem pretty good at least, either they or, the Giants, let's say, would have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
So your point then is that not all, if we look at, say, Dallas is 6-4 and there are several other 6-4 teams, your point is, and this would be good news for the Cowboys fans, not all 6-4s are created equal. Not all losses are the same. Not all wins are the same.
That's a good way to put it. If you're 6-4 team coming from a division where, using this as an example, if this were the season ending standings for the NFL, if you're a 6-4 team and the bottom team in your division finished 5-4-1, 5-4-1 is the best division of the fourth place teams. That'd be Philadelphia. They're the best fourth place team around. That means that your division's a stronger division and you have to survive longer. The gist of why I did that chapter in Blindsided was to find out, is there a benefit from playing a cream puff schedule versus playing a strong schedule? If you play tough teams, or does it wear you down? Does it weaken you? Do you not play as well in the playoffs? Do you play a cream puff schedule? Do you inflate your record up and get to 13-3, 14-2? You get home field, so therefore you're gonna be the conference winner because you have home field. Turns out it is that if you play the tougher teams, you've been through the fire and you are better tested to go through the playoffs than you are if your team if you're not coming from a strong division. So even the Cowboys are 6-4. It seems like that would be a better 6-4 than, say, the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC North.
Okay, well, let's take that. If the Cowboys are a good 6-4, who are some teams that you see right now who are 6-4 or maybe even better, who seem to be feasting on weak opposition?
Denver might be a team. Couple wins in the division. They beat Oakland, Kansas City. Those are weak wins for them. The Ravens, I don't think the Ravens are anywhere near as good as the record says. They're not a bad team, but they're definitely not that good. Atlanta's probably as good as 6-4, but I still don't think they're as good as Washington or Dallas. They're not ready for that level yet. They have the talent, but I just wouldn't trust them just yet. But again, look at the NFC South. We're going to talk about tough divisions. NFC South has an 8, a 7, a 6, and a 5 win team. add that up, and that's just as almost as many as the NFC East. So that's a tough division as well. But again, you don't have to be the toughest division, and there's really no. It doesn't. You know, the study shows you don't have to be in the toughest division. You pretty much just have to be in one of the top three divisions.
Okay, and right now, I guess the NFC East is definitely one of those.
Yeah, the NFC East and South would be the two. Probably the third toughest actually would be the AFC East. Although actually, looking here, I think the AFC South. Yeah, the AFC South would be close, but they've got two bad teams at the bottom. The AFC East is strong across the board. I think the AFC East would, at this moment, would finish either second or third in the league.
Okay. All right. Now let's turn our attention very quickly to Wade Phillips. Now, in your Cowboys chapter of the 2008 Scientific Football, you mentioned that some of his foibles as a head coach, and one of them, you looked at his records and found that he's historically a quick starter, but his teams tend to fade down the stretch. Seems possible that he might be reversing that trend, although it's not intentional. The injuries have kind of wiped out the team, but might that be a blessing in disguise if the Cowboys can get enough healthy players back for the stretch run?
Could be. The thing is, though, that, you know, it's hard to read into how much of a relevance that is. It's a trend, but doesn't mean that he's not a good coach in the stretch run. Doesn't necessarily mean, you know, just because the record says that doesn't mean he definitely isn't a good coach in the stretch run. But he's not proven it before that he can do that. But, you know, his December and January record was appreciably worse. In fact, if you looked at his record, his November record, his teams, I believe, were paying like .650 ball during November. Maybe even close to .700 football, you know, winning 70% of their games. And when they got to December and January, they were like 30% against. It's a huge drop-off. And that would be, you know, but can he turn that around if he gets his team healthy? Yeah, they know, the Cowboys don't have the toughest schedule in front of them. Right? You know, you look at who they've got coming up. I mean, they've got
San Francisco and Seattle coming up. But
thank you.
Their December looks pretty tough.
Seattle, neither of them are that good. Seattle's kind of banked up. And it's at home, too. They'll have to go travel across the coast. Then they got Pittsburgh and the Giants, and they have Baltimore, the aforementioned Ravens, who are good but probably aren't that good. And they've got Philadelphia, who, you know, it's I could see them going 4-2 out of that. You get 10 wins, you're going to, you know, again, 10 wins are probably going to be what you're going to have to what you're going to have to do to get in. And if they get healthy and they get Jones back off of the suspension and things, I mean, yeah, I can absolutely see them making a wild card run. I wouldn't put them as being out of the playoffs or even in danger of being out of the playoffs as long as they can play up to their talent level.
All right. Let's turn our attention now to the metrics, passing game metrics. You mentioned before when we were talking offline, you don't have updated stats because you haven't seen the Redskins game. But I wanted to talk to you about cornerback rankings and the fact that there's a lot of churn there. And one of the reasons a guy like Terrence Newman is so highly rated when I did the four-year stats is that he was one of maybe a handful of guys who ranked in the top, say, 12, 15 every year of the 4 years. Or he was in the top 10, 3 out of the 4 years. And the guy who was number one, Sean Springs, he wasn't always number one, but he was the one player out of all the NFL who ranked in the top 10 all 4 years. There's a lot of churn there. Are there some guys who've kind of jumped up this year, and are there some guys who had big names last year who've kind of dropped down a little bit that you can talk about?
Yeah, a couple of names that have jumped up. We got Sheldon Brown of the Eagles. He, a few years ago, now 2004, he had a great season, was one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league. And he had really been off. Part of it was because they moved him around. They had him play rover sometimes and wasn't playing on the outside. And then they moved him back out to be a starter once they had Roger and let him go and everything. So I mean, they did a number of things with him. But his yards per attempt had suffered. He had been at, like, I believe it was in the 6-yard range the very first year. And he was around the 8 or 9 range the last couple of years. And not quite as good. But this year, he's at 2.8 yards per attempt. I mean, they talk about Nnamdi Asomugha, and nobody throws passes at Nnamdi Asomugha, and he's great. And the Sheldon Brown's metrics are just as good, and he's doing it on more passes thrown his way. So Sheldon Brown is one of the top cornerbacks in the league right now. Corey Webster for the Giants is having a phenomenal year, 3.9 yards per attempt and a 65.7% success rate, meaning that he's actually forcing an incompletion or an offensive pass interference penalty in 65% of the plays. That's tremendous. If you're in the 50 range, you're good. Darrelle Revis is having a great year. At 4.9 yards per attempt. he's turning in the shutdown corner. They thought Chris Gamble, in his contract year or so, he finally stepped his game up, dropping from 8 and 9 yards per attempt guy, even close to a 10 yard per attempt guy for years, down to 5.4 yards per attempt. As far as people who are struggling this year, Lito Shepard is having his typically bad year. Rondé Barber's having a horrible year. Redrick Peter King said he was still an elite cornerback. I've got him at 11.1 yards per attempt. He's playing better of late. But if you look at his performance over the course of the whole year, 11.1 yards per attempt and a 25% success rate, are just terrible, horrible numbers. 10 yards, you usually get a cornerback kicked out of the league, and he's at 11. So he's not playing well. Aaron Ross of the Giants is 9.7 yards per attempt. And Marcus Trufant, who had a great year last year, he was in six yards per attempt, which is not a terrible year. He's at 8.2 yards per attempt. He's been playing better of late. But as of a few weeks ago, he was near the 9 to 10 mark, and he's having a really off year. He wasn't playing up to his talent level. Doing better now, but wasn't playing up to his talent level for about the first half of the season.
Okay, Casey, thank you for joining us. We're always happy to have you here on bloggingtheboys.com. Hope you get a chance to see the Redskins game, and we can talk next week with some updated Cowboys stats. But all the same, this is great stuff on the Cowboys, and it's got to give some hope to Cowboys fans that their tough schedule actually will be a benefit rather than a hindrance going down the stretch.
We'll do. I'll get the tapes watched in, and I think you're right on the Cowboys schedule, so we'll definitely talk about that next week.
Okay, thank you, Casey.